now have two readings, as we're having the gospel immediately after the first reading, which is a very short one. I would ask you just to stand. So the first reading is from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Further instructions. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us well that God will open to us a door for the word that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. And our gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. It is entitled Salt and Light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you. May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. Well, it's good to see so many of you here. I had visions that there have not been many people here and everyone away at the weekend, so nice to see you all. We've had two interesting readings, and the common denominator between the two is the word salt. Now, salt is not something that we have to use very much today for preserving food. But in biblical times, salt was used to preserve food, to keep it fresh, because otherwise, if it's meat in particular, it will go rotten very quickly. And then immediately you can see where this is leading to, that Jesus is encouraging his followers to be the salt of the earth, to stop that earth, that world, decaying, becoming rotten. The expression salt of the earth originates from this biblical passage. And when I've heard it in the past, you hear it used fairly loosely by people describing someone as being the salt of the earth. I never really understood what was meant by that. I thought, well, if you're salt of the earth, you're some countryman or some fisherman or something. But actually, salt of the earth means that you are a good and honest person. And that is obviously what we as Christians are encouraged to be. The salt of the earth. And the use of the reference to salt is obviously significant because the properties of salt, as you know, are such that a little bit of salt can make a lot of difference. And as Christians, we are in a world where perhaps that saltiness has been lost. There has been a recent survey taken which has revealed if indeed you can believe pollsters, but according to this survey, 85% of the population in this country have no affinity to the Church of England. The majority of the people in this country no longer believe in a God. So what is our role? Well, if we are to be the salt of the earth, then we need to bring our light into the world and into the lives of the people that we meet. However, as you also know, too much salt in the food can ruin it. And I think that we should remember that when we are applying the salt in our own lives. We need to get the balance right. We don't need to go overboard. There is a right time and a right situation for adding the salt to the food. Let me give you one simple example. Friday last, I was rushing to the station in Milton Keynes to catch a train. And obviously, when you catch a train, you don't have a great amount of time. But as I was walking along from the car park, I was confronted by these two young men. Well, I say young, they're young to me, but they're probably about 30. And they were American, as their accent soon revealed. And they said to me, and my wife who was with me, "Good afternoon, sir. Would you like to hear more about the Book of Mormon?" Now, I have quite pronounced views about Mormons, and they're not necessarily very complimentary. I wasn't the least bit interested, and I didn't have the time to engage with them about their views on Mormonism. But it seemed to me that they had picked entirely the wrong time to accost someone to try and espouse their faith, because I was time limited. I wasn't really going to miss a train to discuss with them their beliefs about Mormonism. And I suspect most people they confronted outside a railway station would be in exactly the same situation. They were going to catch a train. So therefore, their pitch, I think, was wrong. If they wanted to apply their own particular brand of salt to the worldly situation in which they find themselves, they should have done it more appropriately. But let me give you a different example of applying salt. And for that, I use the example of Oxfam. Because Oxfam started in 1942 in a room in Oxford, hence the name Oxfam. And it came about because a group of people in Oxford decided that they had to do something. They had to do something to help relieve the famine that was taking place amongst the civilian population in Greece. This was brought about because the Allies were blockading Greece to try and get it surrender. But as a result, there was a lot of civilian stress and suffering. So this group of people came together to organize relief supplies for the civilian population. And yet, look at Oxfam today, an international charity which has come out of that meeting in that room. Now, our reading from Matthew also talks about something else. It talks about a light and not hiding your light. So as Christians, we are enjoined to share our light with others, not to hide it, but to let it help illuminate the lives of others. We are to be like a city on the hill. Now, when I read this passage about the city on the hill, it reminded me of something that occurred to me in the summer when I was on holiday. I was fortunate enough to spend some time in the south of France this summer, just outside Nice. And there is a village up in the hills from Nice, St. Paul Devant, where artists work and perform and exhibit their works. So we decided to go and visit this village up in the hills. We caught a train, got to the train station, having been told you can get a taxi from the train station up into the hills, only to find there were no taxis. But anyway, we worked out how to get there by public transport and caught a bus up to St. Paul Devant. To give us the energy before climbing up into the village, because it was on the top of a hill, we decided to have lunch at this restaurant just outside the village walls. And I can tell you, France is not all it is said to be for food, because we had our worst meal ever in this little French restaurant. So don't always think the French are good at cooking. That's entirely by and by, nothing to do with the city on the hill. So after our lunch, we went up, looked at all the artists' paintings and exhibits, and we went to the top of the village to go to the church, because you could see the church from down below and it looked quite interesting. We got to the top and found the church was locked. Unfortunately, a lot of churches in France seem to be locked at different times. But what there was by the church was a chapel which had been used by a religious order, and then when the religious order came to an end, the church was closed. And in about 1970, somewhere in the 70s, the village authorities asked a Belgian artist, Jean-Paul Fallon, whether he would come and decorate this church, and he agreed to do it. We went through the door into this church, a very, very small church, and right at the end, there was a mosaic which he had created, and it took months and months, if not years, to finish this mosaic. But what this mosaic was about was a city on the hill with a big star above. And it was the most incredible sight I've ever seen, just going into what I thought would be a traditional church. And here was this beautiful mosaic on the wall. And that picture has remained with me ever since, for reasons I will explain in a minute. And that image also came to me when I read that passage. It is an imaginary city. It could well be Jerusalem. It's not said what city it's supposed to be. It's a mythical city, but it's also a spiritual city. Now, I was so taken with this mosaic that I took pictures of it, and one was permitted to do this. And when I came back, I had one of the photographs increased in size and had it framed, and it's here today, and I'm going to show it to you so you can share that picture and have an image of the city on the hill. So if you just bear with me. Now remember, this is a mythical city. Yes, it's a mosaic. Let me just go over the other side. So this is the city on the hill that we've heard about from the passage in Matthew. This is what we should be, the city on the hill. But this is a mythical city. It was in his mind. It's not a picture, obviously, of anything. And what I want to do is to give you another image, a book, obviously. Now, this book is a book entitled Jerusalem, the Biography by Simon Sebag Montefiore. And by chance, I've been reading this book, but there's also a documentary by Montefiore based on his book about Jerusalem on BBC4 at this present time, so you can catch it on iPlayer, and there's one episode of the three still to go. And the reason I tell you this and the reason I show you this book is to give you a different image, because this is a story of Jerusalem, a factual story, its biography. And the story of Jerusalem is one of ups and downs, lots of ups and downs, of violence, murders, intrigue, and yet this is the holy city, the city revered by the three Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Such a holy city experiences such terrible things. And it seemed to me that, in a way, these two emblems of what we've heard about the city on the hill represent our own lives, because none of our lives are like the Falon mosaic. Most of our lives are up and down, not as severe, obviously, as described in the book about Jerusalem. But we have turbulence in our lives, we have problems, we have worries, we have concerns. And yet we can always remember that the image that we have, what we should aspire to, is that of the mosaic. So when we are seeing people in trouble, in need, the image that we should have and share with others is that of the mosaic, the city on the hill, because our role in bringing salt into the world is also to bring light. So I will conclude with the words which may or may not have been said by St. Francis of Assisi. Go forth and preach the gospel, and sometimes use words. Amen.